All right, who joined us who didn't hear their name called? So everybody's here? That's going to be here?
Yeah. I know Tatiana will be on.
I'm on. I said I'm here.
Tatiana's on. So
I am here?
Elizabeth Sal's not on. Jen Thomas isn't on.
Colleen and Wendy are both supposed to be coming on.
Colleen and Wendy?
Hmm.
Okay. And Tina and Ken are going to try to call in from the Ukraine.
Hi,
hello?
Elizabeth.
Hi, Liz. Elizabeth.
Hi, Colleen.
Hi, Elizabeth. Hello.
Hi, Colleen. How are you?
Fine, thanks.
Sorry to keep you up so late.
Yes, but it's late. Yeah.
Is Wendy there with you or no?
No, she has sent her apologies. She's actually had to go to the airport to take one of their colleagues, so she apologizes.
Okay.
But we have been in communication today.
All right. So Claudia, Elizabeth Moore, Jennifer, Catherine Narr, Ken or Tina. All right. Well, let's get going. So, Colleen, so we don't have to keep you on forever. Do you have any updates that you would like to bring on to the table here?
Yes, we've actually updated in this week. We've updated into the central repository some of the data that we were nearly ready with last month. So in that sense, we are catching up with our scoring and updating so that we can keep abreast with the actual testing. We've hired two part-time graduate students who are going to help us so that we can keep up to date, and they're going to be working for us part-time as long as we need them. So we can keep up with that. I think in terms of our testing, we're going well. We have appointed a new research assistant, and she trained hard last month, and she's now reliable. So she's testing. She started testing in this week. And I don't know if you want to, and on the scanning, we're catching up as well.
All right. Well, yes, because you have entered last month about 8 subjects into the central repository as of yesterday.
Actually, Ed, that's as of March 1st.
Mine says as of March 5th, Jill.
No, we had 37 absolutely complete by the end of January, and we have 67 at the end of January who were partially complete.
And I'm going from
another 7. So I'm not sure how the Google numbers get that.
Well, I'm just going from the list that Michelle sent me this morning of the difference between the frozen database and the new.
Oh, and the other, yes, there were about 7 that went up last week.
Okay. And yes, because the scanning data are a little behind schedule, so.
Yeah. We're scanning about 9 children a month. So within by July or August, we will have finished the red line on the Google. That would be the 80 children,
mm-hmm.
And then we'll be going on to the 2010. So we set to finish pretty much on target at the end of 2010.
Okay, the one
average
issue,
about 9 a month.
The one issue with that is that the second scan is 2 years after the first one. And
that's something that we need to discuss.
Yeah.
The inter-scan interval, can have some leeway.
There's a three-month play on that.
On either side, yeah.
Right, which means that if the grant ends July or August of 2012, you basically have to have all of the scans done by November, the end of November of this year, the scan ones, if you're going to get them in a, for a second time before the grant period ends. So that's just a consideration that you need to take into account if you're going to get the second scan on. Does that make sense, Elizabeth?
That's really an issue for us because we only started in mid-2009.
Yeah.
So if we then done our agency by just over mid-2010, we're running with an interval of about a year.
Well, then it would seem that the second-year scans may not get done in South Africa.
Well, why do you say that?
Well, we can talk about it later, but unless they're done by the end of this, we're going to be done with the end of the third year as August.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a 3 month, if you could do them at 1 year, 9 months, then we add on 3 months to that time. So it'd be August, September, October. So in order to finish the scans by the end of the grant period, the end of the 5 years.
Well, I think it would behoove us to think more about the importance of the interscan interval than to force it to be, right?
I don't know. So,
yeah.
I'm just going.
I mean, it would not be good to have South Africa all with 1 year between and the other two sites with 2 years.
Right.
But, you know, the importance of it being precisely 1 year, 9 months, I think, is less important than getting the longitudinal data. Do you know what I mean?
I don't know. I would
rather have a shorter interscan interval at one site than not have longitudinal data. But I don't know. Maybe it's not.
I don't know how much the brain changes in a year, so and I think it would be difficult if it's only at one site. And so if you want a change in protocol, then I think we need to bring that to the...
Well, I don't think that 2 years is a magic number. That's the point I'm trying to make. I think that what we've done in the past with longitudinal studies is try to get within a range. I mean, I think we do have longitudinal data, not for CFAS, but with 1 year between scans, with 1.5, with, you know, two years, 2.5. So, I mean, we use interscan interval as a covariate, for example, because nobody's exactly 2 years.
Right, but you can't use it as covariate if it only happens at one site.
Well...
Then the covariate's confounded with site, right?
I mean, it might be that having two different scanners for time one and time two is worse than having a short interscan interval.
No, I agree.
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know how you would analyze the data, though. But, you know, I don't think we need to include everybody in this discussion, but I'm just trying to get the data in the repository that we have or that people said that we were going to have. And I just noticed that there's could be an issue with being able to do what was outlined in the proposal in the South Africa scanning because you'll run out of time before the 1.9-month interval.
Yeah, because we were originally scheduled to do rescanning until 2000 and...
And 2000 when?
When was the original schedule, Elizabeth? We were supposed to... We would have got in had we not accelerated the data collection now.
Right.
But
no.
I think that's where our discussions come in.
All right, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see how it pans out. And
the other thing to think about is that if it's been... How many months, Colleen, now have you been scanning?
We've been scanning since last June.
Okay, so that's the other thing to keep in mind, because the kids you saw in June, their two-year interval is going to come up sooner than the kids you're seeing this month.
Yes.
Were you counting for that in your head, Ed?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the last kid. If you just go backwards from the last possible date of the grant and when your last possible scan can be. And it has to be, you know, I thought 1.9 months. Maybe you want to do 1 year in South Africa, but...
Well, we can talk about that at a different time, but I'm
right.
saying let's
I
not
agree.
Throw out the baby, because I think there's going to be a lot of valuable information.
I'm hoping there's going to be a lot of valuable information, so... Wow. All right. Did anyone new join us on the call?
It's Michael. How are you?
Good, Michael. Yourself?
Good, thank you.
And Claudia?
Hi, Claudia. How are you?
And Jennifer.
Tina?
Jennifer, Tina, you're there. Okay, well, it still is
Ken
there?
Hey, Ken. Yeah. Hi, Ed.
How are you? All right, well, then... I don't want to keep you guys who are where it's already midnight up too late. So I'd like to move and ask Ken and find out what the issues, and I know what some of them are, with Ken addressing that question that was sent out about selecting a relatively small subset of children around 15 to 20 with classic FAS features. Who've had neuropsych brain imaging in 3D photos. And I know there's been some problems in that there's not very many of those kids available in the database. And I was wondering if anything has changed on that. And
no, I don't think so, Ed.
What we can do to...
Leah and I are going to be at UCLA sometime in the next, in early April, we're going to be there. Leah and I, and so we will do the 3D imaging and dysmorphology exams on, I think we have 11 kids that Suzanne has set up for us to see who've had neurobehavioral and CNS imaging studies. So that's going to give us more than double the number of subjects that we have right now.
Yeah, that's correct. I'm hoping to get more in, a couple more than 11, and get at least 11 of the 19 that had total that didn't have the face.
And let me also help Ken too. I mean, realize that we're still in the middle of measuring, so we actually prioritized measuring cases in control from the U.S. sites, and those are now ready. So, in fairness, Ken couldn't really have done anything until now, anyway.
No, I know.
Okay, I just wanted. I didn't want to.
About, but
I gotta take care of Ken over there.
So there is a priority to get the kids that Ken has already picked out, but who haven't had measurements done, measured. Does that make sense or no?
No.
All right. Well, Ken's only interested in classic FAS cases for this particular project. And he knows who those classic faces are.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't have the three-dimensional imaging data on them yet.
Or brain, or are you not talking about brain right now?
Well, I think he's identified ones where there are brains available.
Oh, okay.
All right.
And those are the ones, yeah, exactly.
So that if we know who those FAS cases are that we know has had an image taken, but the measurements haven't been put in yet, then we can increase that number to the 20 that he needs.
Well, I shouldn't say that they're classic FAS cases, Ed, because I haven't seen them yet.
Well, you're talking about the ones, though, from Los Angeles.
As far as the ones that are already in the database, I do know, and we have somewhere between 5 and 8.
But there are
right,
ones that are classic FAS that don't have the imaging yet or neuropaper,
right.
Missing one.
Right.
You mean, but I thought there's more classic FAS spaces than 8 in the whole database.
Oh, there definitely are. There definitely are. But they don't have CNS or facial or neurobehavioral, one of the other three. And we are going to be in L.A. in the beginning of April looking at kids who have brain and neurobehavioral to do face and 3D imaging for the dysmorphology core or the dysmorphology exam and the 3D imaging in hopes that some of those have FAS.
Why don't you take the ones that already have classic FAS and are missing one or two, and then send a list of those to the people for whom we're missing the one or two, and send those to them.
But we can do it that way.
Yeah, that would help. I don't know.
Yeah, I think just to expedite things, because I think there are some kids who are just missing the three-dimensional numbers that need to go in.
So we should prioritize those, is what you're saying.
Yeah,
I agree.
Exactly. I mean, there's more than five kids in San Diego, hopefully, who have measures of classic FAS. Sarah, I mean, how many FAS cases have you seen in the last year?
I don't think I could tell you off the top of my head, but it's definitely smaller than the number who don't have FAS.
Right, but is it more than five?
I don't know. I could tell you really quickly while you're still talking.
All right, because they would have all the measures. It's just that the measure may not be in the database.
Do they all have they all been, so those are the ones that need to be prioritized by Ken, because we're getting facial imaging on all the kids that are getting seen currently.
Right. Well, we would have facial images on everyone we've seen in the last year.
Right. That shouldn't be the limitation.
And we would have scanned them if they were eligible to be scanned.
Yep.
And if we're talking about the fact that they've got FAS, I've already seen them.
But is the issue the timing of when you saw them might be the issue? Is that the issue, maybe, Sarah?
I think it's probably the fact that the numbers simply haven't gone into the database yet.
Well, I think there's some kids that were seen a while ago, Ed. That might be the issue, too. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I would defer to Sarah on that, but aren't there some kids that you've seen them in Ken has seen them in the past?
Well, if I thought they had FAS 5 years ago, I think they have FAS now.
And so,
that doesn't matter to me.
One thing, Ken, I was planning on talking to you. I mean, we have kids here that you've seen, you know, over the years, but who haven't yet had a CFAS evaluation.
That's what I'm. Yep.
So we could try to fill out a form with the data that we have. It's just that we'll probably have a fair amount of missing data, but hopefully we have the important variables. If that makes any sense at all. I think what Tatiana is saying is that there is a lag between the 3D camera sometimes and the dysmorphology evaluation, and there are some kids who don't yet have a CFAS dysmorphology, although they've had one before, a non-CFAS exam.
Right. That's the thing. So they don't have the forms for this study, but they have been previously. You're much more articulate. Thank you.
So I guess what we still need, though, then, is a list of the kids with FAS who are in San Diego and Los Angeles.
Okay.
From us? From me?
And then we would need to try to – well, we could get from the database.
Okay.
What you want is the kids that have had 3D photo and a Ken exam.
Well, the only possibility of those kids come from either San Diego or UCLA, Los Angeles. So
right,
we know
who has. So you want to know how many kids with FAS in San Diego have had just 3D or 3D neuro and brain?
I want to know how many kids in San Diego or in Los Angeles have FAS, and then find out what other measurements they have.
Okay.
And then we can, if we know they're missing a measurement, we can then either try to find the kid and bring them back in, or we can eliminate them.
And are you talking about kids that Ken has already seen for CFAS, or just anyone?
That would be any child who Ken has diagnosed with FAS.
Even if it wasn't CFAS?
I think that would, if we could bring them back in so that we could see them,
right,
that would help. Because
I completely agree. I'm just thinking, just practically, that the kids that he's seen before that haven't come in yet are going to be the ones who we've had more difficulty getting back.
Right. And then
otherwise we would have had them already.
Back, then we can't use them.
Right.
But if we don't know who they are, we can't even try to contact them.
Okay.
So we need to know who they are so we can contact them and try to get 10, 20 cases so that he can do this project that he wants to do.
I can tell you, just looking at my list, that we have four that are classic FAS.
According to Ken.
And then one of them, every one of them has everything except for one, and we can't scan her because she has some kind of thing in her mouth that will prevent it.
Okay.
So,
but we still have.
So that means we have three.
Yeah, that means we have three, basically, with full data sets that are full.
So it's possible that some of the kids he's going to see in April will
possibly
fit the category.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
And we have 22 kids who Ken has seen for CFAS that have FAS. It will take me a minute to tell you what they other things they have, but that's...
I don't think we need to know right now. I think what we need to know or is to try to do is to develop a strategy to get Ken the maximum number of kids that we can who have all the measurements taken on them or that we can have taken on them relatively soon.
Okay.
All right? Because we've got a lot to try to cover today, and so I don't want to get bogged down in specifics, but I think we need to identify the classic FAS cases where there's a possibility to get all of the measurements. All right. Tina, you want to bring us up to date, and then I think you and Ken can probably go to bed there.
You know? Oh, that would be great. So we're just finishing here in Melnitsky and Rivne and bringing back the laptop. Talked to Tatiana earlier today that has the remaining 3D images on it. And Ken has validated exams on, I don't know, 20 kids in the last 3 days. And Julie and Claire have been here working with the Bailey tester, so everything's going as planned. If there is a plan to bring the 3D camera back, that should be something that we should start negotiating pretty soon. In terms of the timing of that and how many kids and what kids would be seen.
Do we know how many kids from the Ukraine have actually been seen since, or that we do not have data in the repository for? Because as of March 1st, it looks like there's about 30 3D images from the Ukraine.
Yeah, so I think there may be another 5 or 6. Maybe it's more than that. I don't know. I think it's maximum maybe about 40.
Okay, and the target for April 1st is 50 kids. So, and the
right.
target by the end of the year is 80 kids. So
right.
there's
so
no doubt that the camera has to go back.
Okay. So so we need to start working on the
paperwork.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean, I don't know how else you're
able to... I agree. I think it's got to go back, too. We're actually talking about the fact that we're going to have a pretty detailed schedule because the camera's getting pulled in different directions now.
Okay.
So we need to get ourselves on a good schedule for all this, which we will.
All right. Well, yeah, I don't know because how many cameras are there now?
Three.
Where are they?
The only data that was entered since January 1st has been... maybe about 10 kids from San Diego.
Right. Well, remember, the camera goes with Leah to Atlanta. The camera goes with Leah to UCLA. The camera went with Leah to South Africa.
All right, so there's two cameras. Where's the third one?
So we had one in Ukraine that's back, and then we've got the one that we've got here that we take with us on different trips. So, we had one that we were holding. If this past thing works out, there's one that's going to go back to South Africa and stay there.
All right.
So then we'll have one that would be remaining here that could go to the Ukraine for, you know, that would be going to different places. And then we've just gotten contacted by this Australia group, and we're just trying to see the timing on that one, too.
Okay.
But, I mean, I think if we put it on a schedule, I think we'll be all right. It's just right now we have a bounty of cameras, so if we had a camera that needed to go somewhere right now, it could.
Well, it would be nice to get... more images going, getting...
Well, there is. I mean, so, Leah, you're on the call. When are you going to... What's the date on the UCLA, and when's the date on Atlanta?
They're all measured, and actually, Sophia...
I mean visits. I'm sorry.
Oh, visits.
April 8th is UCLA.
7th and 8th, and then May 14th and 15th is Atlanta.
Yep. So we bundle. I mean, we do both those sites as bundles. So they'll
right.
do...
There's going to be 11 more kids in Los Angeles.
Or more. Maybe.
Oh, more than that.
Or hopefully more. Hopefully like 14 or 15.
Okay, so they'll be up at their target range on the 3D imaging in
mm-hmm.
Los Angeles. I don't know how many you'd normally see in Atlanta.
We've only gone down there once to do a bundle of kids. How many did you see on that trip, Leah? Do you remember?
It was about 25 or so.
Mm-hmm.
No,
they schedule them tight.
There are 50 children in the that says Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. And if you recall, they originally had a
since the beginning of the year.
Right. So,
so they
originally were using a camera that was located there, but they had a lot of trouble using that and accessing it. So we've altered our whole strategy in Atlanta, and we bring the camera to them.
Okay.
So we did a bolus. I mean, Leah can speak to it. They really did them tightly.
We may have to think of leaving one there for a while because by the end of the year, they're supposed to have 120.
Right, but I guess the only question
there'll be another.
We like timing them with dysmorphology, so we time it with Ken's visit. You're going to be tied by Ken seeing them anyway.
Okay.
Isn't that true, Ken? Is Ken still on?
Yeah, and that's yeah. So in this April trip that Leah and I come to UCLA, and let's say we have 14 kids that we see. Are those going to be 14 kids that we now have 3D dysmorphology, CNS, and neurobehavioral?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But not all of them will be FAS.
No.
No.
Oh, no.
I understand that. I understand that.
But they'll have full data sets.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
All right.
And that should be the same thing in Atlanta. That's why timing it with Ken makes sense, actually, because we've always wanted the dysmorphology to be with the 3D facial imaging whenever possible.
Right.
I understand.
But they don't have CNS.
Pardon?
I think there's a cost benefit in that
if
we don't have a lot of data, it's not going to really matter whether they're together or they're not together.
Okay, I understand.
And so
in Atlanta, we don't have the CNS.
No.
The brain.
We tried.
Right. And so, we're just going to have to do the best we can to get as many kids as we can. And if there's a three-month interval, there's a three-month interval. But that's probably better than not having the data at all.
Okay.
At least in my mind. And is Claire on the phone? No.
No, she's asleep.
Okay. Well, we'll let you guys get to sleep. And you're getting back next week, so have a safe trip.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Right.
Bye.
Bye.
And Colleen, I think if you have any more updates or anything,
yes.
I think you can also get to bed.
Yes. I just wondered, Sarah, do you want to speak about the repository and the demographic data at all?
Yes. Ed, Colleen was going to
stay on. That's fine.
Going to stay on for the discussion of the flow chart and the demographics database, so you can.
Well, we can do that now. I mean, so I don't want to keep calling up till 1 or 2 in the morning. So.
Okay, so there are two things that are relevant to Colleen. The first is that, we have a demographics database. One of the variables in the demographics database is a grouping variable. We have a flow chart, which we have talked about on this call before, which we talked about at the meeting in January, which we created so that every site was grouping their subjects in the same way. There's a variable in the database where the result of that flow chart should be entered. So the first question, which we're trying to figure out is everybody using the flow chart? And two, it's seems like there are some errors in that variable, and it's really, really important because it's probably the most important variable in the database. And so we've been working over the past, 2 weeks now, it seems like, to try to get that variable, to see what's going on in that variable, because in the frozen database that everybody has, numbers are not accurate. And so what I'm trying to do is figure out where the inaccuracies are, where the weakness is. You know, is it a problem with the flow chart? Did we do it right so that something's happening? And then with Leah's help, we've been trying to come up with a way to automate the process. One thing I would really like to be considered is that the process be automated such that it could be done at the level of the input tool, or maybe the central repository. I don't know exactly how that works, because I think it would be easier and more accurate if it was done by the computer. And so there's two things just that I wanted to talk about. One is that everybody needs to know that I'm going to correct all the data and send it to every single person so everybody has the correct version. But also I'm working, I've already talked to Andy about this, and they're going to correct the frozen database as well as work with the sites to correct the local databases.
And just so everyone will understand, I mean, this is a variable that has to do with your alcohol exposure and what group you're in, whether or not you're a case control. I mean, this is a really important variable.
Most important variable.
Yeah, I mean, that's why we're calling it such an important variable and why this is so critical.
Right.
Yeah,
so it's a variable that tells you whether you're in the FASD group, a control, an IQ control, an ADHD control, or not classifiable.
Yeah, and it's critical for all the initial analyses we're talking about doing for the end of March. This has to be straightened out.
Right.
Right. So we're making that a high priority, Andy?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And Andy, at some point, can we talk about automating the process?
Of course.
Okay.
I think we want to focus on making sure people doing analysis now have the right data.
Yep.
The problem is, Andy, I mean, I agree. We need to make sure that we get the correct data, but I think that there have been enough inconsistencies that I think it would just be easier on everybody to have it automated.
I agree. Are you saying that it needs to be automated before we can get these analyses done?
No, I think that between Leah and myself, we can actually sort of locally automate it, and that's how we're going to help you get the correct data into the frozen database. But then after that, it needs to be automated so that we don't have to do that every week or every month.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Of course. Yeah.
Right.
So I think what we're saying is that you all are going to figure out what the right values for the existing data are. You're going to let
right.
us know what they are, and we're going to fix the frozen data.
Right.
And then moving forward, we will look into what we can do in terms of automating so that these data are correct at entry.
Right.
Yes.
Right. So the critical thing right now is that I get the information from every site about what the value of that subject really should be.
So you need to work with site coordinators to get that, or how are you going to do that? Are you going to?
I've contacted each site individually.
Okay.
I've already got it from Colleen. I think Suzanne is sending it to me today, if she hasn't already.
I'm 3/4 of the way through the folders.
Okay.
And I can send you an update.
So San Diego, UCLA is almost done. South Africa is done. Atlanta. Julie and Claire are both in Ukraine, so that's going to take a little bit longer. And Phil is in the air I've already communicated with him to try to get the information. I think that will probably be the slowest, but otherwise we'll get it. I want everyone to be aware. And I think, Tatiana, for you, I think since you're working with a smaller group mm-hmm. of sites, we may have the information to you faster.
Yeah, I think so, too, because South Africa wouldn't slow us down if it's Phil. I was
right.
thinking the exact same thing.
Can I ask one question? Are kids being misclassified into the FAS group, FASD group?
They could be.
I think they could be. I think most likely they're being misclassified. They could be. Yeah.
I didn't see any.
From that perspective, but...
Leah, you were going to say you didn't see any?
I didn't see any that were misclassified as FAS.
But there were a number that were misclassified out of FASD that should have been in FASD.
That's
right.
What I'm thinking. I think you're going to... I think your sample's smaller than it should be.
Right.
That's what I'm worried about.
Right. But for right now, people who are starting to do preliminary analysis, it really should... It's a misclassification of FASD into the ARND group or the low IQ group. Is the primary problem, I think?
I don't think it's as systematic as that.
Well, can I get a report on how systematic it is? All right.
Yep.
Thanks. All right. Question number two. Is that it with Colleen? So can you let Colleen go to...
No.
So you've got the low IQ group.
Yeah, the other thing was about the low IQ group, this is not as critical as my last item, but I think it's also important. It was brought up on our last clinical call, neuro call, rather, that We're wondering about our definition of the low IQ group. We have what we proposed was to include a comparison group of quote unquote typically developing children with low IQ scores. For obvious reasons, we didn't say much about inclusion and exclusion in that group. And so the question has come up is, can we include or should we include kids with identified disorders in that group as long as they don't have FAS? And originally, when we talked about this informally at a meeting, one of our CFAS meetings, we said we shouldn't because we wanted a group that was closer to the FAS group. But because recruitment has been slow in that group, we're wondering if we should now be more inclusive in that group and include kids with identified disorders with the caveat that we wouldn't want to have, you know, only one certain type of disorder.
Yeah. Well, the way I see the data is right now you have about 10% of the number of low IQ kids that you need.
Right.
And so with the numbers you have now, basically you don't have enough subjects to analyze anything.
Right. So
I think you need to make a decision on how you're either going to increase that group or you're not going to be able to answer the questions
right.
that you proposed for that group.
Right. So the other alternative that we came up with was to focus our resources on other groups, like the ADHD group, where we have a better sample size. And that would mean not answering that question. But I think both of those are viable options, and we wanted to present it to the larger group to see what other people had to say.
I think that's a question that should go to the Science Advisory Board.
Okay.
So why don't you formulate that, and we can send it out to the Science Advisory Board to get their opinion on it. The concern is that the ADHD group is only about, 15%. And most of the sites don't have enough ADHD kids to make any real value to make any assessments right now either. So we're going to have to do something to up the ends in these groups. So.
Right. And I think that was why the possibility of, you know, focusing our efforts, for example, on the ADHD group. I mean, I'm not prepared to fully scrap the IQ question. I think it's a really critical question. But that's why we wanted to bring it to the group, and now sounds like the Science Advisory Board.
Well, I think we need to solicit recommendations about that rather than trying
okay.
to decide on it now. And what are the possibilities for
okay.
increasing the low IQs? Who would we be sampling? With what genetic disorders they might have.
Okay.
And then try to get input from...
Not necessarily genetic disorders, but yeah.
Right. Some disorder you're going to... Otherwise, they're the group you want. The low IQ with nothing wrong with them.
Right. Well, they might not be genetic, but they might have some other... Although I guess everything's genetic. I don't know.
Everything's genetic.
Well, but it could be social...
It could be lead exposure.
Right.
So.
Or socioeconomic.
Yeah. Economics is what you want, I think, you know, but for
well, in
some
fact,
part.
Virtually our whole group, well, half of our control group actually falls into your currently defined, you know, the currently defined low IQ group. So I think that's another issue for us, is that we've had to redefine our low IQ group.
And it may be possible that you'll have subjects that could be in both groups.
We have a criteria for IQ.
Is that we redefine the South African control kids who fall into your standard deviation, two standard deviations away from the mean, which is how we devised it last time.
Right.
So what I'm saying is that some of our controls, who are quite typically developing, but because of socioeconomic deprivation and poor education, are functioning the same as some of your FASD kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a unique circumstance. You know, it may be that they can be in both groups depending upon what analysis you're doing.
Right, and we've discussed that perhaps, you know, in certain analyses that the IQ group and the control group will be combined. The IQ group as defined now, but right. If we then bring in these disordered populations, might be different.
Sarah, we have like 20 minutes, and we got a lot of stuff to
okay.
get through yet, so I want to try to move on and talk about the other questions that are up for grabs here. All right? And so, Sarah, you're on question two, which is the neuropsychological data from phase two to see if you could come up with a better profile than the one that you submitted for publication from phase one.
Right.
And whether or not there are site differences and whether the profile is similar across sites.
Right. So
what's the update on that?
We received the database from Michelle, I think it was Friday, maybe Monday. Ben has spent this week cleaning it, you know, adding variable names, making it more user-friendly, taking out the duplicates, and he sent it to me last night. And I'm going to meet with the statistician next week.
Okay, so all right. Any questions on question two? All right, so hopefully at next month's call we'll have a much better idea of the answers to that question. Because these are supposed to be addressed for the RSA symposium, and right?
Yes.
So that's coming up, and so we've got to really have a tight timeline here. Tatiana, you're going to apply the dysmorphology algorithm to the 3D facial imaging.
How about I start and I'll let Leah continue on. So we've been measuring, as to address this particular question, cases and controls, prioritizing them for measurement. All the U.S. Sites, so that would be San Diego, Los Angeles, and Atlanta, have been measured, and the data's been uploaded for all the cases and controls. Of course, there are other kids that don't meet either one of those criteria that we did not prioritize those for measurement. We do not have quite all of the cases and controls from South Africa. We got a couple questions that we have out to Sandy Jacobson on that group. And then Andy actually offered to work with us, since he's already programmed applying the algorithm to the dysmorphology data, to work with us so that we wouldn't have to reprogram it for the 3D facial imaging. So I actually think applying it will be faster than we thought previously. So our plan was actually to apply it to the U.S. data first and then do the South Africa data, in essence, almost like a replication or a second sample. So that actually can start, am I right, Leah? That can start next week.
Yes.
So it does not, I just want to stress that we have not finished measuring all the kids that are in the in-between group, and we will continue to measure. But we do not have our data analysis done, but we can start it next week now that all the measuring finished today.
Okay.
Let me understand where we're at with that measuring, Tatiana, because this is Andy Aronson. I've been talking to Leah today about how we're going to get the latest measurements uploaded. And
mm-hmm.
That still needs to be done, right? Those measurements may have been finished on your part, but they need to get in the central repository still, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
But they're not finished.
Aren't
we've only finished
you to upload them? I'm sorry. Go ahead, Leah. I'm sorry.
Leah?
Just the FAS and the control kids have been finished measured. But we wanted to get those into the database so people like Ken could use them.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
Also because we don't know how to categorize these middle people.
But isn't
there'll be another bolus of uploads.
But isn't
okay.
Sophia, didn't she learn how to upload? Hasn't that process been happening today?
Well, she had to wait because we were downloading all of the image files onto a disk to send to Peter Hammond.
Got it. All right, so we're doing Peter first. Sorry.
Okay. But we're in the process of making that upload happen. Okay.
Yes.
I want to make sure we're on the same page.
I will
address,
though.
Did someone modify Tatiana's Google Doc so that the kids are not unknown anymore? They're all listed as unknown for Atlanta and for Los Angeles. And so it's
misleading
to know who's who and how many of each we have. All right?
Yes. Let me just clarify also one other point, which is this issue of classification is really important for Peter Hammond as well and sending data to him.
Right.
So we've got it all worked out to send him. We can either do this in two pieces to him and send him cases and controls, and wait on the middle group, or depending on how quickly this gets resolved, we would be able to send them everything.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see the FAF group and the controls in his hands as soon as possible.
Okay. So. We sent him today, our IRB, so I think he's all ready now.
Okay. All right. So that's hopefully we'll have that by next month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Elizabeth. Question number four.
What's question number four?
You're going to determine the brain correlates of dysmorphology.
Yeah. Okay. So I sent around a sort of an extended abstract to those of you. I don't think I sent it to all of you. So we've been analyzing multi-site data using automated sort of volume regions. We have 99 kids, and we've done sort of within site analyses and then combined site. Site is covariates. And so far, we have some interesting, I think, interesting findings. I'll go really quick. The most interesting things are basal ganglia volume reductions in the exposed relative to controls. Now, remember, this is all exposed, not just FAS. Mm-hmm. So pallidum, the globus pallidus, putamen, caudate are reduced, and that's above and beyond overall brain volume reduction. More interesting than that, I think, is that there are correlations between the lipometer measure, believe it or not, and the left thalamus, right thalamus, left putamen, right putamen, left pallidum. So the more dysmorphic, and this is within the exposed group, not the controls. So the more dysmorphic that Likert scale on the upper lip is, the more reduced their volumes are.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like really interesting because, mm-hmm. you know, it's not the length of the eye opening. It's this measure that would seem to some extent so so much more subjective, but it's so highly, I mean, you know, p-values are 0.007, 0.002 between Filtrum score and the volume measure. So anyway, and then there's some correlations with those same basal ganglia measures and IQ.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is that enough?
Well, yeah. I have some questions about it, but about the statistics and doing these correlations when you basically have these five ordinal measurements, and all the FAS kids are in those four or five.
Well, you can look at the range of.
No, yeah.
Or so, I mean, I think I show graphs, so you can get an idea. It's not, but
you know,
yeah.
I'm wondering, like for example, if you took palpebral fissure size and rather than use the percentile or the absolute length, is the quartile then whether you would see the same thing?
Okay.
And so that was just an idea.
I just think it's really kind of cool.
I do too.
Yeah. And then also, Castor Nahr is working on defining the corpus callosum on the same 99 subjects. That's just an analysis that can be done relatively quickly. And so I haven't seen results yet, but that's also another thing.
And I think it's also going to be important. I mean, you say you're using site as a covariate, but
yes.
Determine if that covariate is significant. I mean,
it's highly significant. Highly.
There's a site effect, and I think that's going to be real important.
No, Ed, within site, I just was giving you the short, but we looked within site. Within site, at each site, volume reductions are highly significant between controls and exposed. Now, the South Africa kids are way smaller than either San Diego or L.A.,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's a huge side effect, but within sight, we're seeing similar patterns.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, so that's why first we did within sight just to see if we see the same thing across sight. We pretty much do. Then we do it combined with sight as a covariate, and then we do it with intracranial volume as a covariate to make sure it's not just, well, their brains are reduced.
Okay. We got 10 more minutes, and Sarah, I want to leave 5 minutes at the end to wrap up. But so you're on for the fifth question.
Well, it's short because I haven't made much progress. I've been focusing on the first question or question number two, but I think that will, in once we make some progress on question number two, that will help guide the question number five.
Okay, so have you guys
tell us the results from Elizabeth, because question number five is to combine, you know, data from various projects. So I think all of the things that are ongoing will help inform that that question.
All right. So, but have you talked to Ken, Tatiana, Elizabeth about, you know, and
oh, not yet, because I've been focusing on the first one and trying to solve this grouping problem.
All right. Do you think that question two is going to take so much time that question five is going to get put too far off on the back burner?
No, I don't, actually. I think that once we just get a little bit further into it, we can start on question five.
Okay. I just want to make sure that it gets done and it's not just forgotten, because that's the big question of the multidisciplinary multi-site.
I agree, but my understanding was that to prioritize two before five, I can switch it and do five before two, but
it was just that I thought you guys would at least talk about it and decide whether or not someone, you know, whether you really were going to remain the leader of that or whether someone else felt that they had more time to do it.
Okay, I'll contact.
I just don't want to see it get shoved aside, and yet I know question needs to get done.
Yep. No, I don't foresee a problem.
Okay. Let's see. Claudia.
Yes.
Let's hear what's going on in New Mexico.
Yeah, we're getting ready to start our scans, I would say within the next week, on just pilot scans to make sure that our paradigms are correct and we should be measuring. Cody has four subjects lined up. We should be measuring them within a few weeks.
Okay.
I have a question of Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yeah. Are you looking at a cerebellum?
We have not yet focused on it, but the data's there. Their automated methods are less set for the cerebellum.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So are you planning on doing that, or is that not on your list? Or?
It wasn't high on my list, but I mean, it doesn't mean it can't be put there.
Oh, okay. I'm just curious.
Yeah.
Okay.
As I said in my email, there was not a lot of data collected in the month of February. I hope that changes for the month of March and that data do get into the repository and that all of the issues with the central repository and not for the informatics core, but that the data going in there, you know, have to be clean or we're just spinning our wheels. So if we can take care of those issues about the classification, that would be great. Any word from NIAAA? Anything? Bill?
No, I've got nothing to add. I had a question. Where do things stand with Peter Hammond and has Phil made any progress in hiring? As I recall, that's
what I don't know if he's taken care of hiring. I know he's got his budget right.
Phil has hired two people.
Right.
There's a trip scheduled for April and another one for May to the Central Plains, and the psychometrist from here is going with them, so they'll have three people and their week trips. So hopefully that's going on. No new subjects have been added from New Mexico. And although he says he's looking at other ways of recruiting subjects in New Mexico, I'm not sure if he's had much luck with trying to get them through Cody or not. So I guess that's about as much as I know from there. But there are two trips planned to the plane. Does that answer your...
Yeah, that is, and it sounds like Peter Hammond is engaged.
All the money's been the money, the contract's been signed with Peter. I believe everything, and I know Tatiana
has been in touch with him about how to send the images and what
he had a last thing he had to do for his IRB. He needed to have IRB approval. He asked for it yesterday, and he got it today. So I think he's ready to take images. We've confirmed we've got him in the format he wants. So I was just going to wait until early next week to see if we could resolve this issue of the classification. Otherwise, we'll send him cases and controls and start with that.
Right. All righty. Bill? Okay, we're okay there then. Any other issues or questions? Anyone who has anything they want to contribute to the group? Okie doke. Michael?
No comments. It sounds like we have direction.
We have direction.
If not dramatic movement, at least direction, which is good.
Well, direction's always good. So I'd like a little movement to go along with it now, and then I'd be a happy camper. All right. All right, well, thank you all. And
thank you.
Sarah, if you give me that thing, I'll send it out to the advisory board, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
Thank you all.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.